One of the problems that we face as we try to respond to what the Spirit is doing, that is that you can't very well go on to what you've planned if the Spirit is saying something else. And I've got a way of including everything in this morning, but what it will mean is that we won't be recapping from last week. We're going to need to go straight into where we are, because I've got a couple of things I need to say. Number one was, as I arrived with my quaint sense of humour, I was impressed with the fact that last the Lansdowne Hall Committee had, you saw the scaffolding outside? Yes. And I thought at last they've responded to our request to build a steeple on top. sure enough, I got into the meeting. I came through after having some hassles with a set of connections that didn't work first time round, and was able to experience that steeple being built. Yeah? The steeple was a way of connecting people to God. And I thought, as much as I've ever been aware that there was some proactive connectedness with God going on this morning, I really, really appreciated that. Certainly spoke to my heart and where I am at the moment. And I just want to respond to that. And I was so encouraged, because the guys on transitional team, each of them are going through sort of tough stuff that you don't need to worry about at the moment. And from the position I was in, I was watching people coming into the meeting, and lots of you have had tough stuff, even some of you this morning, to deal with on the way here. And I thought there was something that we've got to grab. Let me just tell you about the first thing, or actually the second thing that I picked up. I've always thought the words of A Pocket Full of Faith are better than the tune. It's one of those songs with a real concept in there. But for the first time this morning, I felt so I grabbed hold of that, because I'm sure, like you, at the moment I feel as though my faith and my resource and our corporate resource is not adequate for the task. I somehow managed to grab the contradiction for me this morning of having a pocket full, right? And I suspect that the emphasis is there, is not on your pocket being full, but it's all you have in your pocket that's required. And I like the idea of faith as money in there. And I felt as though God was saying to me, doesn't matter how much you've got, it's just going to take every last bit. And into what God is calling us, whether it's sickness, or whether it's complications in life, whether it's work, or whether it's difficult circumstances, then God is saying, empty your damn purse. You know, empty your pockets. Stop saying, I haven't got enough. All I want, says God, is everything. Yeah? And out of that, going backwards, really appreciated the way in which Sarah prayed for us into next week. I came back to that song, Be Bold, Be Strong, because I thought Alan and Rolf really helped us with that. And I thought the way in which it helped me was the low and slow start. You know, that song got a bad reputation. It got bad reputation because it turned into a nursery rhyme. Yeah? which was just sort of a merry sing-along. Do you know what the next thing that happened to those guys was after they'd had that promise? What happened for Joshua? What did they have to do next? I don't think it was the battle, was it? I think they had to walk into a situation that was going to drown them. Yeah? Now, I can imagine them singing, "Be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. I am not afraid, no, no, no." And them all shoving one another, who's going to go to the front? So I thought the low and slow and quiet was just what you need, guys, when you might wake up in the middle of the night and there's something tough going on. It's not all clap handy, ring of roses, go round in a circle. That's what's killed so many great songs over the years. It was that starting point that we got into and finished with as well. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. And I just like us to sing and pray before we move on, and to try and pick that up. You know, where is it that God needs you to be bold and be strong? And when you're with your kids, if you're singing the song, do try and teach them that this isn't a Pharrell Williams song. Yeah? This is not happy, happy, happy. This is when the kids in the playground are being nasty to you. Yeah? This is when you really, really don't want to go to school because it's one of those days. Not like my grandson Toby, who any day's a bad day if it involves writing. Any day's a good day if all he has is PE and art and the chance to ride on the bus to and from school. That's the kind of person he is. But he has bad days too. The trouble is such a hard man, finding out which are his bad days is a really difficult business. But for most of us, we know where the difficulty is. So let's just pick that song up, shall we? I wonder if I can pitch it. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God. Okay, let's start again. We're going low and we're going slow, because if you wake up in the middle of the night and you are frightened about what's coming down the road, you will not be singing it like that. Okay? You might have to time it for the sobs as well. You might have to time it to the fact that you're wondering what's wrong with your health and whether you're going to cope with the circumstances. Yeah? Sorry, excuse me being pushy. I just want to try and help us get the best mileage out of it. Okay, so just let's stay. Let's keep the rhythm low. And they'd got it this morning. If we could have had the bass here. I'm encouraged when Alan gets with the bass and starts declaring what God's saying, so you can hear it underlying the song as well. But be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. I am not afraid, I am not dismayed, for I'm walking in faith and victory. Come and walk in faith and victory, for the Lord your God is with you. Again, Be bold. Imagine those priests. Be strong. Walking up to the River Jordan, which was in flood. Be bold. Be strong. For the Lord your God is with you. I am not afraid. Crossing the Jordan was the easy bit. I am not dismayed, for I'm walking in faith at victory. Come and walk in faith at victory, for the Lord your God is with you. Lord, whether it's kids, or whether it's exams, or whether it's our health, or whether it's our job, or whether it's relationships, we embrace the message, be strong and of a good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be terrified. And Father, I pray that as we put the pieces together this morning of what you've called us to together, that we'll find credibility within ourselves to share with others because of what you're doing in us. Amen. 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 So, in living memory, for the whole of Living Memory, almost on Sunday mornings, we've been trying to deal with a development of our understanding of our mission. And we've been talking about serving what we find God doing in Wiltshire and beyond. Serving what we find God doing in Wiltshire and beyond. We started with a little bit of Bible. I don't feel as though we need a proof text for this because it runs current all the way through the scripture, but it's nice to hang it on something, isn't it? And we started out from here. Jesus gave the Jewish leaders this answer. Do you know what they were after him for doing? They were after him, I think if I remember rightly, for breaking the rules. He was doing stuff on a Sunday that he shouldn't have done. He'd bought a newspaper or an ice cream or was playing football, all the kind of stuff that I couldn't do when I was a little kid because it was a Sunday. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. Jesus didn't operate on his own initiative because he was doing human stuff. He can only do what he sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these so that you will be amazed. And by the way, guys, it's not your eyesight. The thing's slightly out of focus. So that's where we have worked through. We've gone through each of those sections, and last week we talked about Wiltshire and beyond, and because I spent too much time messing around before we got there, I had to post. Oh gosh, that thing's been animated. I think it needs an evil spirit casted out of it. I took it off another slide where it was doing something quite different. We needed to bring this section through to this week. And I'm really glad about this because I think this is something that David has brought and caught. And it gives him a little more time to actually share with us, and we'll round off afterwards. Okay, Dad. Let's take this off here, and then you can.
Organise myself a little bit. Right, so it was beginning of February, and I was at a Pioneer Regional Leaders meeting, And Billy Kennedy, who heads up Pioneer, was speaking at that meeting. And he was talking about four different types of churches as he sees it. So there's the Oikos church, which is a house church. There's a parish church, which is a local or a family church. It serves a local community. There's what he terms a cathedral, which is a church you drive to, possibly as a pilgrimage, puts on a great show. It's a centre of worship and teaching. The modern day examples he gave were HTB and Hillsong. And then he talked about what he called a minster church. And he said that a minster church was the earliest form of missional church. So we've got mission. He said that they had a passion to worship God. That they brought his presence to the community. They served beyond themselves. They were a resource church. And finally, they were focused on a region. So at the end of speaking about these different types of churches, he asked us as church leaders to get into groups for which type of church we felt our church was. And I felt it right to join the Minster group. There are only parish and Minster churches there, or that's how people saw themselves. And so I found myself in a group with New Community Church Southampton, which is Billy Kennedy's church. City Gate Southampton, which is the church that Megan Pitt, or Megan Weeds that was, goes to. There was a Methodist mission enabler there, and there was myself from Dayspring. And we were asked to talk about what our churches do, and so I talked about the fact that we see ourselves as missional. We feel that we're called to Wiltshire. I talked about Open Blue, and I talked about Cabaret. And at the end of what I was saying, Billy said, yeah, Dayspring are like Citygate Southampton, but they're doing it in a rural context. And I found that a huge encouragement, a real confirmation, and it was very helpful. A month later, it's the Pioneer Leaders Conference, and there were a group of us hoping to go. Unfortunately, the snow got in the way, and we weren't able to make it. So we were sat at home, we were watching, because Pioneer put on live feeds of the conference on YouTube. So we were watching the live feeds, and the group of us were all connected by a Facebook Messenger group, and we were messaging each other as bits came up in the talks and things. And Billy opened the conference by talking about these different types of churches again. And he got to the Minster Church and he said, he explained about it, and he said, Hope Church Norfolk, they're an excellent example of a Minster church in the rural context, and so is Dayspring Church in Chippenham. I was watching it with Sarah, and at that point Sarah went, and I missed...
That's a surprise.
And I missed the next sentence. But I'm reliably informed, he said, and they're doing some great stuff. They haven't yet put that talk up. They put all the other talks up. They put that one up on there. So I've been able to hear it. So again, Billy had confirmed it. So we're quite excited about this. Is Dayspring a Minster church? We've been doing some reading around, and we've confirmed some of the things that Billy has said. Minsters, monastery, the two words are sort of interchangeable. Whole idea was that a group of monks would arrive in an area, they would set up the monastery, and they would be looking to bring people to Christ and see people become Christians as they lived out their faith in the area, and they would be changing the thing. If you go down the things, you see that mission. Yes, we have always said that we are a church with a mission. Sometimes we think we're a mission with a church, but mission is something that we really believe in doing. The passion to worship God. I think it's really interesting. If you look, as I understand the monks, everything was worship. So whether you were in in their church building and singing praises to God, worshipping, or whether you're out in the field growing the crops that fed the monastery and that allowed them to exist, that was seen as worship. And I think that's something that's really in our heart. I was reading this week Deuteronomy 12:7. There in the presence of the Lord your God, you and your family shall eat and shall rejoice in everything you've put your hand to, because the Lord your God has blessed you. Which is the Old Testament way of saying that, you know, everything we do it as to the Lord, which comes from Colossians. If it comes up. Yeah, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. And we really do see that everything we do is worship. It isn't just about singing. We were on the town one time and we're giving away the drinks and the hot chocolate, the drinks and chocolates, and we were chatting to people and we were praying for them. And somebody came up and was chatting to me and was asking me why we were doing it, whatever. They were a Christian. And they said, wow, this is all really great. When are you going to break out the guitars and start worshipping God? And I said, but we are worshipping God. Oh, but you know what I mean. And I said, well, no, I don't really. So we see that everything is worship, and so did the monks in their time. I could go on. Pete Gregg, we had a video about Pete Gregg, and he was talking about Mother Teresa and the work that her group of nuns did, and the fact that they looked after people who were dying on the streets of Calcutta. And their mission statement was to just worship God, and they saw that finding people who were dying, looking after them, helping them, allowing them to die with dignity, that was worship. So a passion to worship, I think we've got that, and we see that as in everything we do. It's not just about our son worship. Bringing his presence to the community. Andy, just in the last month, has been talking about Thingley and what Open Blue has been doing there. It's great that we've got the bus going back in there. And you remember he was going around and he started chatting to one of the ladies who's one of the travellers that lives there. And she said, when Open Blue first came to the site, I was a Christian, but my husband wasn't. And because Open Blue was here, he has become a Christian. And we now go to the Light and Life Church together. And so Andy and Chiquita and all the other people who have volunteered and helped over the years with Open Blue have brought God's presence to that community. And it's had an effect, it's changed something. And there is something there, you know, it would be great to see people coming here. But what we really want to do is we want to touch communities, we want to bring his presence, we want to see people's lives change. We want to see them going to a church where it meets their need and it's good for them. Serving beyond ourselves. Again, Andy was talking about Thingley and Open Blue. The first time we took the new bus into the Thingley Traveller Park, the other agencies that are trying to help that community said that it had transformed the situation for them. And so, yeah, we have a reason for going to Thingley. We know what we want to do. We know we want to bring God's presence. We know we want to help the community. We know that we want to build community. But if there are other agencies who want to get in there and do good things in those communities, we will serve beyond ourselves and we will help those agencies to help those communities. And it goes the other way. Just this week, Andy was with the charity that's for racial equality in Wiltshire. He was visiting a traveller site the other side of Salisbury. And so we're ready to stand up for these communities, to be an advocate for them, to to see justice done and to bring righteousness where we need to. So we do serve beyond ourselves. We have a real heart to be a resource church. Underpinning what we do with Open Blue, with Cabaret and other things is the fact that we're putting stuff out there and we'd love the other churches to make use of it. We've always said other churches can be part of Cabaret, can have tables, can bring people who they want to hear stories of faith in a laid-back setting. Last month I was at a Chippenham Churches Together ministers meeting, and I talked about our ideas for Thy Kingdom Come, and I said, you know, we've got this idea, we've got the office in the middle of the town, how about we set up a couple of prayer rooms? Would it be helpful to the other churches to have somewhere and a focus for Thy Kingdom Come? Would you, as other churches, like to partner with us and help us, you know, man the offices, set up the prayer rooms, be part of that? And the ministers were quite positive about it. Didn't hear anyone saying, yeah, we'd like to be involved, you know, sign us up and everything. And then this week I get an email from the president of Chippenham Churches Together. Are you still doing something for Thy Kingdom Come? Can the other churches be part of it? Can we encourage our people to come and pray for Thy Kingdom Come at your prayer rooms? And so I said, yes, of course. People can come. I've explained when it's open. And this week I'll be at a forum meeting to actually talk about what we're doing and to encourage people to come. So we're being a resource to the other churches to be involved in this initiative and to get behind it. And that's just fantastic. So we have a real heart to be a resource church. And of course, the final thing is being focused on a region. I mean, the whole series of these talks have been about Wiltshire, serving what we find God doing in Wiltshire and beyond. We've always said that we have an overview for the county and we want to reach people. And so, yeah, for me, I don't know if the picture of a Minster church is helpful, but I really do believe that these mission, passion to worship, bringing his presence to a community, serving beyond ourselves, being a resource church and being focused on the region, they're things that we as Dayspring are up for. This is what we're about. This is how we do things. This is how we reach people and want to touch people. And so I really think this is something exciting.
Okay, guys, just where you are, very quickly, and you'll need more time to do this, of course, but just two pluses and two minuses about the Minster picture. How does it work for you? What are the positives? What are the negatives? Two pluses, two minuses. And just to check, you've been thinking. Right, you are. Let's start with somebody. Tell us what a let's problematise this first. Let's give us
new word.
Not a new word. I use it every day. It's part of the process of complexification. Right. One of the things that's problematic about the image.
Minsters are very big.
Minsters are very big. Some are, some weren't, of course. But insofar as we know anything about Minsters, you've got to think back to the Dark Ages. Hang on for a moment. We've got one. Let's take one positive, then I'll come back to... Were you going to sort of argue against that, or...?
I was just saying that when I imagine what a minister was, a group of monks, and they were closed off from the rest of the community around.
Yeah, isolated.
Yeah, and in fact, what was the positive that about that? That in fact, of course, they weren't. You know, their calling was to go outside and to serve the poor and to send out teams as they did. They travelled. That was more notable among the religious with the orders of the friars. Some of them even joined outlaw bands. Yes. Yeah?
rubbish.
Okay, she got there. Yeah. And we're pretty good at fighting, at least from when I was little. So you've got those Minster churches, the ones that still exist. But of course, those were the ones that were built out of stone and not built out of wood. Because the ones that were built out of wood got knocked down. Another negative, please. Another problem. Problematic area.
I've never really heard the word before.
Okay. You ought to spend more time learning new words.
It's your quiz, so that one you got struck by lightning, yeah. Burned down by fire. But
The.
positive.
Yeah, well, another positive. Can you pick up? Yeah, a positive. Yeah.
Yeah, it means you can work with any church you fancy.
Yeah.
In a good way.
Yeah, and of course, any church will work with you.
Yeah.
And of course, there were lots of competition between the different orders of religious people, weren't there, at the time? Okay, I just want to start the process. Obviously, if this works, it works for us as an image, and if it don't, it don't.
Descriptors there.
Yeah.
Does that mean that a Minster church isn't, it's a goal for it is not to build up its numbers, but to serve the community and do stuff outside that makes a difference?
Okay.
So you have to have a sort of kingdom attitude rather
Let's come back to that if we get time. I've got a suspicion there's a session in that, but it does come down here because let me just say this now in case I don't get a chance to. We've always assumed that being a resource church, or at least I've always assumed that being a resource church meant that we would be a resource to other churches. Now, if you think about the way life is working at the moment, David is functioning as a resource to the whole of the Lansdowne Hall community. We seek to be a resource in doing the teas at the fete here in the community. As a trustee of one of the richest charities in the area, the Chippenham Boroughlands Charity, he is the church's representative as a trustee. He's the church's trustee there. There's a Chamber of Commerce trustee who's Hugh Thomas and, you know, various other people, and has recently turned down the opportunity to be chairman of Chippenham Boroughlands. Got too much otherwise to do. But that's an interesting area of resourcing. Andy found himself resourcing, helping out the racial equality guys in the county. He found himself facilitating all sorts of people. But, this is really problematic, but just from time. But Wendy, just come up the front here and tell people, I know that Chiquita and others have been visiting Thingley regularly. Wendy made her first visit, and she did it in between lunch with her friends and going to her gym classes with her mate Linda and Marion, where they, I'm sure, are an embarrassment to everybody. Wendy was really full of what had happened on Wednesday afternoon. Just tell them about the chaos.
Oh, yeah, it was absolute chaos. I got there, there was meant to be the swapover between the younger children and the new children, and the children coming in from school. And the children coming in from school at different times. So one school closes at 2:30. We're meant to start at 3:15. Another school comes out at 3:00, and some of the others come out a bit later. And there was kids everywhere. And the people doing the younger class had chosen to make slime.
Was John involved in that? Yeah, a slime maker.
I don't know, it was bedlam, wasn't it? Absolute bedlam. It was amazing though, because there was kids everywhere. There was people from the different organisations that are trying to help in Finlay. So you didn't know who was workers, who was parents, who were doing things. People were popping out to visit people around Finlay. There were parents in. It was, and we were trying to make clay faces, John and I, and we had just about a little space, and there were just children everywhere, and we were sort of trying to deal with it and get the clay out and deal with the slime.
Okay, we've got to stop
there.
But it
was amazing.
So that just gives you a feel. The team, Candy, John, Matthew Richardson was driving. Who else was there, John?
Candy.
Was that it? Yeah, got Candy. Yeah, and pardon?
Was Jonathan Hind there?
Jonathan Hind.
Yeah. Jonathan Hind as well. So that's that is, so you get some sort of impression of most of us never get there. So a resource, who to? And the reason I went straight from here to here was your point, Philippa, about kingdom orientation, because the kingdom is bigger than the church. In fact, that's part, there's an idea that the kingdom and the church is coterminous in lots of people's minds, which is why you get the idea of worship as being a special activity rather than something transfers to life, why presence is something that occurs only inside the premises and so on. Okay, now, there is a problem, I think, with this phrase, Wiltshire and beyond, and we've been talking about it a bit. I don't think we've quite resolved this, so just want to see how it settles with people. I think it can miss the spot in two ways. It can seem too big, and it can seem too small. Some of you have got passion and vision for people groups well beyond Wiltshire. If you just take, for instance, very live example at the moment, when Luke says Wiltshire and beyond, he's, where is it, Uruguay, Ecuador?
Ecuador.
One of those places, I'm very vague about it. I knew it was South America, but more than that, I couldn't say. But so when he says beyond, there's a big picture there. Chris is in the meeting this morning, his wife's not. One day we must interview Sarah a bit about her job, because boy, does she need prayer with some of her responsibilities. She's a doctor, she's a paediatrician, and she's working in Northern Bath, is it?
At the moment she's in Swindon.
She's in Swindon, but that's where she's going to be going. It'd be great to pray for her as that transfer happens. Andy works in Bristol. Richard works in Bristol, and they've got a concern for those communities. You don't work in Bristol?
Trowbridge.
It's good job I didn't come and try and visit you in Bristol, isn't it? No wonder you're not getting blessed. I'm praying for Bristol. Yeah. And I made the point about being vague. Okay. I can't even get Bristol and Trowbridge sorted out, let alone Ecuador and Uruguay. So for some people, it's too narrow. Equally, of course, it can seem too big. Because if your life, it can seem too big, except when we think about the Open Blue Bus, because if your life is centred around the school gates and your work groups and your family and so on, Wiltshire is just crazy. And it's really funny that when we talk about Wiltshire as being a big place, it's really strange, because there's if you take the population of Swindon away from Wiltshire, there's about 400,000 people. It's about the same size as Bristol. Now, no church would have a hill to climb in explaining they've got a vision for Bristol, because it's a city, it's an entity. But Wiltshire's another thing. And I know that I sometimes find it difficult to have a passion for the whole of Redhill Close. Yeah? Our banjo, banjo is a very East London term, isn't it? But
Dagenham
term. Okay.
I had no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, the cul-de-sac in which we live is, you know, I can just about grab hold of that and praying for my neighbours there who I get together and possibly include Elizabeth, who lives at the end there, and so on. And so it can be too big and too small. And I know that as I drive around past new housing estates, I regularly feel guilty. And David and I were talking about the fact, what sort of responsibility do we feel we're going to have for that new estate that's going to happen across on the edges of Studley? So, serving where, I'm going to finish off with 5 minutes about how. And there will be a leaflet attached to the record, a leaflet, a handout attached to the recording today, which will get you there. So how do we do it? How do you do it? Some of you will be familiar with some of these things. What we say is that our strategies are to go and build arches that become bridges to Jesus so that lost people can meet and follow him. There's a 6-minute video on our YouTube channel which explains it. It is an unbelievably naff video. It was our first attempt to do something like that, and I have to say, our last. But when somebody else gets the ability to do it better, to do animations better, then that will be great. But it does explain what we're after. Start small, because the gospel's a seed. That's where you start. Say wow, because God's work is to be praised and only God can do it. Some of the things that we're seeing may be so small they don't seem like revival, but if God's doing them, it's worth praising him. It may be that you go through a hospital process to get better. Well, praise God. Thank the surgeon. Praise God for the work that happens through the skill of the doctors. Do what's doable, because that's what faithful servants do. You can remember, it wasn't the guy who had started off with 5 talents and made another 5 who got the biggest praise. The issue was whether you'd done something with what you got. Do what's doable. Count what counts, because everybody is equally valuable. We say, oh, we don't want to count things. Oh, yes, we do. We want to know who's missing, not to check up on why people are not here. But sometimes the reason that people are not with us and we don't see them is because they're in difficulties. I don't know whether any of you, how many of you know, but Ruth Richards' daughter died during, I think, at the end of last week, her daughter Rachel. And obviously for Ruth, as well as for the rest of the family, that's a really desperate, desperate thing. We need to be praying for her. Needs a lot of prayer there. Count what counts, because everybody's equally valuable. Be yourself. People notice if you don't. But you know, it says in the Bible that we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the power isn't from us, but from God. We don't need to be flash. We don't need to be more than we are. Only if we believe we're the ones who make the difference. If we believe it's the Spirit that makes the difference, then being ourselves is pretty much okay. And we need to exploit the ordinary as well. We could go into this in a lot more detail, and I'd like it to become natural. It's all on our website, guys, but we're going to put some more detail up. Start small, but start somewhere. Where are you starting in serving what you find God doing in Wiltshire and beyond? Karen, at work? What's God doing? That's the first question, isn't it? How can you serve it? Steve, what's going down in the staff room at the moment, or in the department? Staff room may be too big to have a vision for. Possibly the department. You know, who needs praying for? Who needs a word of encouragement? Who in Leonora Homes at the moment is God calling you to speak to? I'm picking on people for a reason. I didn't think of that before, but just, you know, typical situations, different situations. Matt at school, right? Who is not enjoying life very much? Who is there that you can bring a word in season to? Okay. Then say wow. One of the characteristics of charismatic churches have been something that is politely called vision inflation, impolitely called hype. And it's not only charismatic churches. Rob Warner wrote a PhD around the fact of describing Spring Harvest Alpha and Spring Harvest Alpha and the Evangelical Alliance, and said that each one of them set targets, and when they missed them, didn't acknowledge that they'd missed. And that's one of the things we would like to be faithful about, to say wow when we see God doing something, but to be honest about it as well. Then do what's doable, but don't get lazy. Okay? Don't sweep the dirt under the edge of the carpet. Don't ignore things. If there's a piece of cracker on the living room carpet, pick it up. Don't kick it under the sofa. That's true in the spirit and in every area of life as well. I could go into that. I'm going to try and press my PDF to see if I can get it to move. Okay. Count what counts, but count something. What are you counting in your life? You know, on the bus, David and I have been talking about how we help people to start looking at what we should be measuring. How many people has the bus touched in this week? John, do you know how many kids came through on Wednesday? How many would you get?
About 40.
So about 40 people were touched.
And that's just the kids.
Yeah?
About all the others.
And once, you see, that's the process, isn't it? That if we start to count, then we realise that it's about the number of people we serve, the number of people we touch. How many people have you blessed with a smile at Fairways, guys, during the week? You know, quite a lot too. The rest you scowled out, I know. But count what counts. There's a lot of difference as well between being yourself and indulging yourself. Okay? Look at me, aren't I pretty? Aren't I fine? Can't I do something wonderful? Everybody loves me when I come along and reach out to them. Being yourself and indulging yourself, there's a gap there. And here's the other thing. And every day we want to exploit the ordinary, but be ready for the extraordinary. All of us have got those stories in our life when there's been a little miracle. It may be at home, it may be at work, it may be in all sorts of circumstances. So, I wonder this week, Karen, on your round, whether as you go to put those letters through the door, you'll find yourself thinking, I need to pray for the people in this house. You know? You might actually find you need to come and talk to somebody and say, well, how do you pray for people you don't know? There are some good techniques. We're not very good at them, but there are ways of praying. What about the people you see, Linda, when you're walking the dog? There might be somebody who you need to bring a word for. Alan, as you're struggling with life at the moment, with all the difficulties that there are, one of your students, it may just be appropriate to say something to them. Sarah. Actually, I could go around every single person, but I'll stop with Sarah because that's a good punctuation mark at the corner. But Sarah, the kids who come in, wouldn't it be amazing if God suddenly showed you that there was somebody that he was separating for purpose to touch people's lives in the future? And you've got a chance to pray for that child and for that family. See? Serving what God is doing, what we find God doing, in Wiltshire and beyond. We've got a watch that's saying Wiltshire and beyond doesn't take the edge off it. And that's why I find that problematic. So sometimes you'll hear us saying, serving what we find God doing and not adding the other bit. And we might well keep that for best, if you like. And just for ordinary, you know, when we haven't got visitors, we'll talk about serving what we find God doing. Let's just have a quick pray. Father, after this, it's got to work out in real life. So, Lord, we pray that you will help us to move in your power. We go in your strength. Amen.
Amen.
Next Sunday, Andy speaking.